And welcome again to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman, and co-host, and with me today is Mike O'Connor. This episode, we'll first discuss the latest fall news, which includes the signing of defender Jazz Richards from Swansea City. After that, we'll talk about the transfer speculation surrounding the club this week. Lastly, we'll have a debate on a few topics in the Cottage Talk Controversy Roundtable. This will be a shortened show. You can probably hear a little different audio quality to this show. We're actually trying a new service through Blog Talk Radio, and that might also be the reason why we did not have the beginning audio clip. So I apologize for that. But again, the audio does sound great. Before we do anything else, I have to welcome my Cottage Talk host to the show, Mr. O'Connor. How you doing, my friend?
Not too bad, Russ. I just got back from the U.S. men's game last night where they won 4-0. It was a flattering scoreline, to say the least. But overall, I've had a great start to my 4th of July weekend. I hope you and your family also have a wonderful weekend. And I'm looking forward to talking Fulham this morning.
I am too. I'm really looking forward to doing this with you. And again, for everyone in the U.S. that actually, you know, is about the 4th of July. Happy 4th of July to everyone. And I'll just say that around the world as well. Happy 4th of July. This is a great day for us here in the States. So, but Mike, like I mentioned in the beginning, we do have a shortened show. We're going to do this about 50 minutes. We're going to shorten this down. We're going to go quickly through many topics, but I look forward to doing this with you. But let's get going right away, and let's talk about the signing for Fulham in Fulham news, and that is Jazz Richards joining Fulham. I'm going to read this from the Fulham website. The club is delighted to confirm the signing of Jazz Richards from Swansea City on a deal until the summer of 2018 with an option to extend until 2019 for an undisclosed fee. Okay, that is the deal. And again, you can read that right on the Fulham website. We're going to be talking about this a little bit later when we go into the Cottage Talk Controversy Roundtable. But I want to get your just thoughts on this signing.
Well, when Jazz came to us last season on loan, I didn't think he was too much of, you know, I didn't think he was too much better than Grimmer, than what we already had. I just kind of saw him as kind of a bench filler or a body filler in case Grimmer was to get injured or vice versa. Jazz gets injured, then we have a replacement in Grimmer. I never thought he was going to be an actual full-on Fulham player come the beginning of this next season. And I know a lot of Fulham fans are giving him a lot of stick, and a lot of people weren't very impressed with what he's had to show, at least wearing a Fulham shirt. But I know wearing the Wales jersey, he's done quite well. And when he plays for Swansea, he does quite well. So the question comes, you know, was he playing, no offense to some of the Fulham players around him, down to their level? Or and will he raise his game this coming season with what looks to be already a more invigorated side? So, you know, I'm okay with it. I think Jazz Richards will actually end up coming good and showing his skill. I think we just have to give him, you know, a fair chance at and a fair run in the team. So overall, I'm pleased. Don't break the bank on the guy, but overall, I mean, I think he's a good addition to the squad.
You know what? I've actually had a little change of heart when it has come to this, and I'll talk about this a little bit later when we talk a little bit more and share some of the thoughts from the Fulham supporters on that, Mike. When we talk about Jazz Richards, but I just wanted to open the show just talking about the signing, and I do look forward to really going a little bit more detail about that. But let's move on. Like I said, we got a shortened show here, and I actually saw this on Tuesday. Again, this was announced on the Fulham website. I think this is very good news. They announced the return of Steve Wigley as the under-18s manager. What do you make of the return of Wigley, Mike?
Oh, it's fantastic. Steve Wigley has been one of our best kind of mentors and young player, not so much role models, but he has a phenomenal way of training these young kids. And he's a big reason for our academy success and all of our youth under-18 and even our under-21 success when the players have progressed from under-18s to under-21s. I'm not entirely sure exactly what happened after he left because he's come back so quickly. I'm just really glad that he has come back and he's willing to put in the effort again with Fulham because he is a huge part to why we've had such a great flow of young players coming into our first team. And with him back in the back at the Cottage, I think we have a very bright future ahead of us, especially for our younger players.
I'm excited by this move, honestly. I'm happy that he has come back. And I think it was a loss last year. Mike, if you look at the under-18s again, they did not perform as well as they've had in the past under Wigley. So the fact that he's back, I think, is a great sign for the academy. That under 18 team actually has been wonderful. And I think they took a step back last year. I don't know if it was directly related to Wigley leaving, but it probably didn't help. And now that he's back, I hope that whole situation gets reinvigorated and the under 18 start winning matches like they did, say, 2 years ago, because again, they were something to watch. And, I watched them in the FA Youth Cup final. I watched them I watched them the year before, win the title. And again, they've done some very good things. And the fact that Wigley's back is only a positive sign, Mike.
Absolutely. Steve Wigley is probably one of the greatest youth coaches in England at this time. And he's definitely made a mark on Fulham, and he definitely has a place within our ranks. So I'm just ecstatic to have him back.
So am I. And I thought that was positive news. So I'm glad that we could share that. Another piece of news before we go into the transfer speculation. I found this very interesting. Again, on the Fulham website on Monday, they were showing pictures of training. And again, it wasn't any announcement, but it did mention this player just in this post. I found it interesting. It kind of, they kind of slid this in, Mike, which I found interesting. On the Fulham website, they mentioned that Jamie O'Hara was training with the club this preseason. Now, what are your thoughts on Jamie O'Hara just training with the club?
Very odd Fulham doing this, because they never, the past has sort of been very quiet. Players in, and you'll hear it through what the onlookers have seen on the trail, posted in a forum, or they kind of pass it through word of mouth. And so for the club to actually go out there and openly acknowledge that, yes, he is training with us, and he's on, I think it was picture number 16, you can actually openly see him playing. I think Jamie O'Hara, and I know Giannis is a big fan of picking him up, as long as we can get him for a decent price, I don't think he's a bad option at all. I think he's had a rough time with some of the clubs he's been at, not necessarily because of his fault. However, his fitness levels have been questionable. But as long as he can get his fitness levels, up, which he has been openly saying that he's trying to do, I think he's a great, great fit for our team, because we need one of those hard-tackling players. We have a lot of young guys like Lasse-Vig and Christensen, flair, that can get around players. But yep. Jamie O'Hara doesn't mess around. He will just go piling into somebody, and sometimes that's what you need playing in the championship. So if we can get him on a decent contract, and again, not break the bank and leave some open spaces for future signings, I have no problem with him whatsoever.
It's interesting, because again, if you look at some of the stats that were on whoscored.com, mm-hmm. Jamie O'Hara kind of goes along with some of these other players that they brought in and players that they've been linked to, like Kevin McDonald, which we'll be talking about in a bit. It seems that Fulham are really trying to revamp that midfield, Mike, and play it. Again, I want to talk about it in a little bit. I think that Fulham are going to be playing differently this season. I think O'Hara, just even training with the team, is an indication of that. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think our team is really focusing on that central midfield, because or the midfield in general, because as I said in the last week's show, the midfield is so important to the team, because it is that transition point between the counterattack, defense, to the offense, and then they can also track back, help and defend, also integral to when you're trying to create something up front and get into the 12-yard box. So I think focusing on that midfield, which has forever been a problem, where we've been kind of thin on quality, where someone gets injured and we're like, oh no, who's going to fill that role now? I think we're really solving that crisis that we've had for a couple years now. And, I'm pretty excited to see where we're going, and hopefully we're breaking away from the diamond, because with all these players coming in, and you are absolutely right, looking at the stats and key passes, even playing for Blackpool, O'Hara had, he was like number two in the key passes or most successful passing ratio in the championship. So it looks like we're breaking away from that diamond. We're opening up into more of a wider playing field, and maybe going back to a 4-4-2 or even a 4-3-3 potentially. So. I'm really excited to see where we're going and stop being so clustered in the center of the park and actually moving the ball out wide.
You know what? I'm fascinated with how this is all going to play out. And I want to recommend everyone reading this article by Frankie Taylor. It was actually posted a little bit earlier on hamian.com. We're going to talk about this in a little bit, Mike, because someone had a question for us in the Q&A. This kind of will go along with it. His article on hamian.com is, how will the new look Fulham shape up? He gives out potential formations. You know, again, he threw out one himself with like a 3-5-2, but he was also mentioning possible 4-3-3. You know, again, 4-2-3-1. It's interesting because when you see the players that they're bringing in, you're thinking maybe there's a change going on. And he actually brought up in this article that Kip played a different style with the under-21s, and maybe now with bringing in his own players, he's going to change his style back to what he did with the under-21s. I find the whole thing fascinating. We're going to have to see how it all plays out in the preseason. But again, all the signs are, Mike, that Fulham could potentially be going away from the diamond, which you and I would agree did not work last season in the end.
No, it didn't. I was just reading that Sporting Lisbon, Fulham, looks like they've come to an agreement up to Ruiz's agreeance to go to Sporting Lisbon now for about £2 million, something like that.
Yep. €2 million.
€2 million,
I think it is.
Okay. Yep. And I'm pretty sure Kit was not building. He was forced to play his hand around players like Ruiz in order to make sure that we had some semblance of a functional team, because we had such a transition period. And now with him going and bringing in O'Hara and Pringle and Kearney, I think we're starting to really see a different lineup, a different team. And it's a pretty exciting time, actually.
It is. I was about to mention that. I was going to throw that to you when we moved over to transfer speculation. Talking about this situation with Sporting Lisbon, and Dan Crawford on hamian.com had this article. I'm just going to read it again. You've already pretty much mentioned it. The top Sporting Lisbon and Fulham agreed deal for Ruiz. This is from Dan's column. Fulham and Sporting Lisbon have reached an agreement over the transfer of attacking midfielder Brian Ruiz. According to reports in the Portuguese press this afternoon, this story was from yesterday, Eboa is reporting that the two clubs have agreed for a fee for a permanent transfer of the Costa Rican international, believed to be around €2 million, and now waiting on an indication from Ruiz as to whether he'd be willing to make a move. Now, again, body language, all the indications were that, you know, again, this is just my opinion. I don't think Brian Ruiz wanted to be a Fulham in the end, Mike. So you would think he would jump at the chance at moving. And I think this would be the best scenario for both Brian Ruiz and Fulham if he moved on.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. I mean, he's done his job and he's tried it, and he's a very skilled player. And I don't think many people will ever refute that. But I think the big issue was the English game, the way that it's played at such a physical and high tempo, just didn't fit him. He was great in the Dutch league, and the Portuguese league is much like the Dutch league in the fact that you have more time on the ball, you have less in your face kind of pressing up, less long ball tactics. And so I think Ruiz will do very, very well over there. I think it's a good move for him. And at the end of the day, if we get some money back on him and get him off our wage bill, and then we start, you know, saying, finally, this is kind of the end of that era of those players that came in the Premier League, and now that we're in the Championship, I'm not saying we have to get rid of them, but they just don't seem to fit too well into our future goals, because they came in a different time and a different mindset. So I hope to see this go through. I actually have thought Brian Ruiz served our club well enough for what he did, but it's definitely time to move on, for sure.
It is. And, you know, again, I've watched him play several times for Costa Rica. I remember when he played in the Dutch league. We just have not seen that at Fulham Football Club, and I really think the English game does not fit his skill set. So it's time for him to go to a place where his skill set can shine, and this Sporting Lisbon seems like a great place for him to thrive. So I wish him the best if this does go through. Again, this is speculation at this point, but for Fulham and for Brian Ruiz, I really hope this happens, Mike. I do, and then we can all move on, and then I don't have to hear from Cottage Talk co-host David Holly talking about Brian Ruiz anymore. You know, and I know David's listening, and David, please get better soon. And I hope this is good news for you, because I don't want you to be aggravated with Brian Ruiz anymore. All right. Let's move on. Again, we are in transfer speculation, and I want to give Dan Crawford a good amount of credit. Dan has really kept up to date on the transfer speculation. So I'm going to be sharing a couple stories that he's written lately. And this, again, is according to Dan Crawford, hamian.com. Mike, Fulham have been linked to 25-year-old Aston Villa left back Joe Bennett, who was on loan last season with Brighton. What are your thoughts on this speculation that started with a story in the Daily Mirror?
I don't know too much about Joe Bennett. I mean, overall, for the team that he was in and for being obviously a part of a new system that they have at Brighton, being a loan A player, I didn't watch him too intently, and I didn't kind of pinpoint him as a player that would potentially be coming to Fulham at any point. However, he is the right age, and he has some championship experience, and being loaned out, he kind of gets that knowledge base of playing with other players, different systems, and different parts of the country and on different pitches. So, I mean, all in all, it couldn't be a bad thing. However, again, I can't speak too intelligently on the guy because he's one of those few players that I didn't push him away. I just didn't think he was ever coming to Fulham. I didn't see the point of it. But, you know, with the way that we've been doing some of our transfer deals and looking at that age group, it looks like 22 to 25 looks to be where we're kind of aiming for players. Let's be honest, our back line can always use some extra beefing up and some new faces in it. So I definitely see no problem with it. I would just be interested to see what kind of stipulations come from a deal if we did get Bennett.
No, listen, it's a good point. And I just like the fact that we're being linked to a position of need. I think left back's a position of need, Mike. And, the one player that I wanted Fulham to bring back, and again, I don't know if they're actively pursuing this player again, but I would love to see them try to make a move for James Husband with Middlesbrough and try to get him back. But if you cannot get him back, then I can understand why you're looking at other left backs. I mean, you have to leave all your options open. You can't just be targeting one player. But again, that is a player that I really wanted back at Fulham. You know, I thought James Husband did a decent job, Mike.
Oh, yeah. I would take James Husband back in a heartbeat, to be completely honest. Out of all of the loanees that came in at the last few months of the period, I was most impressed with Husband. I thought he fit in well. He came in without any issues. He hardly put a foot wrong in a team that was, you know, just scraping by, hate to say it. And then if it's between him and Bennett can't really make it into the Aston Villa team, so they sent him on loan to Brighton. Brighton didn't have a great season as well. I'm not saying we're any better than Aston Villa at this point, but, you know, if it was between looking at Bennett or Husband, I've seen Husband play. We've all seen Husband play. I think majority of Fulham fans would take it back in a heartbeat because he's definitely a player that we need. He's definitely a player that we've seen play for us, and he's someone that we know a little bit more of now. So if we could get James Husband back, it'd be no question in my book.
Yeah, no, listen, I was hoping that we'd be hearing something to do with him, you know, and again, I wouldn't be against maybe doing a swap Fernando Amorebieta for James Husband like they did before. You know, that's what I would do. But again, there's been no talk about that. I haven't seen any links with James Husband at all. So I find that fascinating. But again, who knows what's going on behind the scenes? It just got me to think about left back when I saw the link to Joe Bennett, because I would really like to see James Husband at Fulham Football Club. That's just my opinion there. Okay, Mike, let's move on. Now let's talk about some more defenders, you know, again, because it's pretty obvious to me when you go through some of the speculation. You know, again, it is just speculation, but you can get an idea. You can somewhat get an idea of what the direction Fulham's going in, bringing in players, and it looks like they're trying to beef up the defense, which they absolutely need to. So, again, this is from Dan Crawford and hamian.com. Fulham are preparing another bid for 22-year-old Brentford defender James Tarkowski. What are your thoughts on this speculation that started in the Daily Mirror?
I think out of all the transfers that speculation kind of topics we've talked about in the past few weeks, Tarkowski really does interest me a lot. However, that being said, where does he fit in if we do take him? Do we get rid of Hutch and Byrne? Do we get rid of one of them? Where does Bodrov fit in? I don't know, because I believe Tarkowski is a center back, isn't he?
Yes.
Yeah, I'll totally take him, absolutely, if we can get him. But I'm just interested to see what kind of the back center two are we looking at there, because we've got Byrne, Hutchie, and Bodrov. honestly, all three of them, no. Did they have a great season last year? No, but nobody did. So I'm kind of taking last season we survived to push it off and see where we are come Cardiff away. So where does Tarkowski fit? However, he is very, very good. He's very, very aggressive, and he's young. So he fits the bill, absolutely. So depending on what that bid is, I'd be more than happy to submit another bid to this guy.
So would I. You know, again, I like the fact that they're targeting young center backs. And listen, the fact that they're doing that, you know, it does make you think, well, what do they think about the center backs that they currently have? They must be exactly. thinking about that they need help, Mike, because why would you be targeting players? Again, let's just put this into context. This is speculation, but I am seeing Fulham linked to several center backs, several left back. Well, I should say one left back. We've already seen right back that was taken care of with Jazz Richards, but you see them being linked to several defenders. And it tells me that they're looking to upgrade it, which, you know what? I think they desperately need to. So I'm not against them looking at some of these players. And that's going to lead me to another piece of speculation with another center back. Again, this has been going on for a while. According to Cottage's Confidential, Brighton have rejected another bid for 22-year-old center back Lewis Dunk. Now, what are your thoughts on this speculation, which originated in Here Is the City? This has gone on for a little bit with him.
Yeah, that's one that I would love. If I could take either Dunk or Tarkowski, I would take Dunk. Because I think Dunk is a fantastic young prospect. He's an English footballer, of course, so the price may be a little bit more expensive because it tends to be that English players cost more. But, you know, he's one of those players that I actually was watching a lot of last year. If I wasn't watching Fulham and a Brighton match happened to be on, I would watch it simply because I thought Lewis Dunk was actually a great answer for our problem. So if we could somehow get our hands on him, that would be absolutely fantastic because at 6'4", this guy is he's not a small lad at all. And he's definitely – he knows how to play. So if we get both himself and Tarkowski, I think we're looking at a totally different back four lineup. But if I could pick one or the other, I think I would go for Dunk over Tarkowski.
Okay. And honestly, Mike, if this is true, if the speculation is just not speculation, that there's something really to this – I'm all for them pushing it, you know, going for another bid. You know, if they're targeting someone, keep going. Eventually it would end, you know, but keep trying. There's no reason that you shouldn't be trying. If you want a player bad enough, you keep trying. And it seems like they are targeting these two center backs. Again, this is speculation. We're just reading what's in the press. But the speculation makes me feel that, you know, again, this is my opinion, that there's something going on here. There's something going on here, and Fulham are targeting center backs. They're obviously targeting a left back with Joe Bennett as well. So again, these are just my opinions, but it does feel like they are targeting these positions. All right, Mike, let's move on to a last piece of speculation. And again, I've seen a good amount of talk on this player this week. According to The Express and Star, Wolves manager Kenny Jackett mentioned that Fulham made a very low bid for central midfielder Kenny McDonald, but it was not given consideration because he's a big part of the Wolves' plans for the future this year and obviously beyond that. What are your thoughts about this? Because again, this type of player is someone, you know, again, I've seen him described as like a pass master. It's just someone that can get the ball moving. I like the fact that they're targeting the position. I have nothing against it, but this one seems like it's going to be difficult for them to win.
Yeah, I apologize. Are we talking about Kevin McDonald, right?
Yes, Kevin McDonald. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say Kenny McDonald? Sorry.
Yeah. Sorry, no problem.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, no, it's okay. Yeah, he's a lot like O'Hara, actually, in the way they play. So it wouldn't surprise me that if we're going for O'Hara, we're going for and McDonald also has some Scotland U19 and U21 experience. So he definitely was a bad pick. He's been at Wolverhampton since, 2013 or 14? He's been there for a few years. And he's not a flashy player by any means, much like O'Hara. They're not guys that you necessarily think about when you think of flair, but they're definitely players that are industrious. They have great vision, and they can definitely put in a good few long balls into the box and take a few shots from outside the box themselves. So, you know, I'm not surprised that Wolverhampton want to keep him. He's definitely not as young as some of the other players are going to. He's 26 years old, 27. But, you know, sometimes you need that. You need that kind of middle, later middle stage of their career players to supplement all these 22-year-olds you have, 23-year-olds you have, because at many times those younger guys can get ahead of themselves, get heated during matches, kind of maybe lose tempo a little bit because they lack that senior level experience that someone like McDonald or O'Hara definitely have. So it's definitely pretty key that we get in some players that have been around a little bit longer, that maybe what they don't have in individual skill to work as a team. And for me, as a personal player, that's more important. I'll take team players that function as a mechanical unit to win a match over someone who takes the ball himself and a bunch of individuals. So overall, if we can get McDonald and O'Hara, that solves our midfield problem, in my opinion, right then and there. Maybe look at some more wingers, but I have a feeling we're going to get one or the other. We won't get both. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Right. And that's what I think is going on here. Again, this is just my opinion. My opinion is that they brought in O'Hara, and if for some reason McDonald becomes available, you might not. I don't think you're going to see both. I think this is kind of, they're going to go with one or the other. I could be wrong, but again, I like the fact that they're targeting the position, Mike. I think they need to, regardless. You know, again, Scotty Parker is starting to get up there in age, and you know, I think that they need to be looking for that transitional player from Scott Parker. And again, different type of player, but still central midfielder that controls the play a little bit. And, you know, I like the fact that they, you know, again, they're looking at O'Hara, but I would love if they could get this player. I just don't know if they're going to be able to, because it's pretty obvious he's part of the Wolves' plans. But if O'Hara is your backup plan, I'm not against that, Mike.
No, not at all. But I definitely think McDonald has to be the primary. And again, no hit on O'Hara, but playing for Blackpool and having such a tough time with his previous clubs, he's probably a little bit short of confidence. And obviously, like we said, he's a little out of shape for like style of game that we're going to be playing, for just being a professional footballer. I get why we brought in O'Hara, and I'd be happy with either, but we're definitely not going to get both. So we'll have to see who it is that we actually end up signing, if we sign either of them.
That's a good point. Again, let's just reiterate that Jamie O'Hara is just training with a club. He's not a foreign player. He's just training with a club. Nope. And we'll have to see how that all plays out. I like the fact that he's in there. It's kind of a prove-it situation for Jamie O'Hara to see if he fits with Fulham, and it could also benefit him as well. You know, if for some reason he wants to move on, you know, again, it's getting his fitness levels up. So it benefits both sides, and we'll see if it turns out if he's a for Fulham. Again, only time will tell. And, you know, I wouldn't doubt that this situation with McDonald, again, speculation, but that could be part of this. You know, that could be part of what's going on with bringing O'Hara. You're trying to really deal with the position, and you're trying to give yourself a couple options. That's what I think is going on. All right, Mike, let's move on. Now let's go to a section I've been doing this lately called Cottage Talk Q&A, where I actually ask our audience to ask us questions, ask the co-host a question. And this one's an interesting one. I have one, and again, this comes from Michael Stanton. Michael actually writes for Cottagers Confidential. He actually submitted an interesting question. This is going to go along with our current situation of us talking about this midfield, because this is what we're talking about. Miles Stanton wrote, central midfield, who would start and should Kit deploy two or three center midfielders with the addition of Kearney and potentially O'Hara, as well as Parker, LVC, Tunnicliffe, Hyman? There's a lot of options in the center of the park. Mike, what are your thoughts about what Michael Stanton wrote?
Yeah, that's a very, very good question. I'm just trying to think of it right now in my head, how I would kind of potentially set it up. We're definitely going to need a defensive midfielder. Scotty Parker obviously fits the bill with probably not being able to run as much as he used to. So you're either looking at the two center midfielders, with one being an attacking midfielder and the second being defensive midfielder. Or you could do, I mean, regardless, in my opinion, you're going to have that midfielder that sits just in front of the back four to act as another defensive player and someone that can control the ball from the back and send it forward. So if you're going with three midfielders, you're probably looking at, you know, I can't even put names to the team sheet just yet, because if you've got Kearney, LVC, and all these other great players, I'm going to leave that up to Kit and the management during this preseason, from what I see in preseason matches, to determine that. So as of right now, I'll just go with the numbers. You know, if we do three midfielders, that means your central midfielders, you're probably isolating Ross McCormick up front. And Fulham hasn't done too well historically with an isolated striker up front. So that would mean that third central midfielder would basically be playing behind him. And that kind of worries me, as in, are we going back to a diamond-esque kind of formation, or a more centrally located formation, which last season didn't work out too well. So I'd like to see us go with two central midfielders and two wingers, a good old traditional four-player midfield. But if we go with three central, I think we're starting to have the players that can do it. It just kind of worries me that we're going back to a more diamond-esque formation. And by that, I mean we're going to be playing short, small passes in the center of the park and get crowded out again. And that kind of scares me.
No, listen, it's an interesting situation with what's going on. And I'm glad that Michael mentioned this, because, again, I read this really interesting article. It's going to go to this interesting article by Frankie Taylor and Hamby.com. Like I mentioned, you should definitely read it, because he throws out a couple scenarios of what he thinks could be the new Fulham shape. You know, so how will the new look Fulham shape be? You know, he threw out the 4-3-3, the 4-2-3-1. He was giving different scenarios. Yeah. And it's interesting. You know, again, I Mike, I'd recommend reading it, because it makes you think about how these players could potentially be deployed. You know, again, it also made me think, well, if he's going to play with wingers, and again, there was some speculation today dealing with Pat Roberts again. You know, again, that PSG might be involved as well, which is interesting. But it got me to think, maybe Pat Roberts is part of this plan. Maybe they sell Pat Roberts because they want Pat Roberts to be a winger. They want him to be, if again they are changing things up, you have someone on the left like a Pringle, and maybe you would be thinking like that someone like a Pat Roberts would be on the right, Mike, you know, to have wingers. You know, again, I would love to see Fulham play with wingers. What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, you know, I just took a piece of paper out here. I just kind of drew a quick little formation, and this might sound a little bit it's very unique, I guess, to the way some people would play. If we're looking at three central midfielders, I don't know how much it'll fit, but one thing that you could do is a 4-1-2-1-2. So you've got Parker as a central defensive midfielder, Kearney and Pringle, or whoever your two wingers are, push those two players out wide, and then you have your attacking midfielder right behind two strikers, maybe McCormick and Smith. So you're looking at maybe Parker, Kearney, Pringle, LVC, and then McCormick Smith, because again, I don't feel comfortable with an isolated striker, because we've seen it with Hugo, didn't work too well. Yeah. When McCormick was alone, he doesn't score too often alone, at least for our team. So I really don't think that we can afford to have an isolated striker up front, but that's just me. So
okay, but Mike, but you know, again, I see where you're going on that, but if Fulham are, say Kit really is changing how Fulham play, and they are going to be playing more with players really setting up McCormack, players that can actually create for McCormack, would that change your because again, Kearney, Pringle, these are the type of players that actually create opportunities for players up front. So would that change how you feel about McCormack being a lone striker?
You know, potentially, yes, it would, because it's been a long time since we've seen somebody with those kind of pace and that kind of delivery. We could play McCormick up front, so long as Pringle kind of reignites the form he had with Rotherham and Kearney does what he's been doing with Blackburn. As long as those two players and players we bring in like them come in with the same already with the same base skill level they did last year, and they just kind of increase the game as they go, obviously getting better and better working with the players around them, I feel a little bit more comfortable. Yeah, you're absolutely right, because I guess I'm kind of stuck in the mindset of the previous few seasons where we've been very, very poor with our crossing and very poor with our delivery into the box. And McCormick's one of those players that if you put it on a plate, that guy's going to score. He scored 19 goals for us last season and we ended up in 17th. So you're absolutely right. If we could get Carney or Pringle or someone like them to continue their electric form when it comes to crossing and delivery and vision, then we definitely could leave McCormick as a lone striker. So that's definitely a very interesting thought that I'll have to look into a little bit more.
Yeah, you know, again, I'm just throwing it out there because, again, when Michael sent this over to me, I was really thinking about it. Then, of course, I read this article on hammyend.com by Frankie Taylor. Very interesting. You know, he was naming players, and I don't want to go through the entire article. I'm just going to say that he gives out scenario where it does look viable, but he's also including Kevin McDonald into the equation. Again, we don't know if Kevin McDonald's going to be a full player, but it's interesting to think about exactly how Kit's going to play this season. And I really hope that he's going away from the dime. That to me is what this is really about. I'm just hoping that we don't see a return of the diamond, Mike. You know, again, it's funny because, again, you know, as Frankie mentioned in this article, you know, Kit played a different style. You know, he says in this article, Simon's had the under 21s playing some lovely dominant football and systems varying between a 4-2-3-1 or 4-3-3. Again, this is from Frankie Taylor's article on hammyend.com. So that gives me hope that maybe if Kit has the right pieces now, Mike, if he gets the right players in, he's going to change how he played, that he had to play that way last year because of the players that he had. Well, now he's bringing in different players, so maybe he can now play the way he wants to play. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, no, it absolutely makes sense. And if we can make that work, then I'm more than happy and extremely excited to see it happen. If we can get away from that diamond, I think you break away from a lot of the issues that have kind of held us back from climbing the table. Because once teams found out that formation, they broke us down, and it was very apparent. So, yeah, if we can do that, I'm very, very excited.
Yeah, you know, again, we're just throwing stuff out there. You know, I don't know exactly what Kit's playing. I guess we'll find out in preseason. It just gets you think a little bit about what's going on with the type of players that he's bringing in, that he's actually building a squad that might be a little bit different than what we saw last year. And I think everyone would like to see that, you know, see a different style, you know, because in the end, the diamond formation just didn't work. It just didn't work in the end. So I'm looking for change, and I'm looking for ways to make Ross McCormack more dangerous. And that's why I see these players already that he's bringing in to really benefit Ross McCormack. I could be wrong, but it looks like part of the reasons why they're being brought in is to help out McCormack, get the ball to McCormack. All right. Let's move on. Let's now go to the Cottage Talk Controversy Roundtable. We got about 10 minutes left, Mike, and we'll finish off here. And you've already mentioned this, but I'm going to read the comments from the phone supporters and then get your thoughts. You said you do approve of Jazz Richards coming to Fulham, correct?
Absolutely, I do. Yep.
Okay. So I pose this to the Fulham supporters to get their thoughts about this. And I just asked, do you approve of Jazz Richards signing for Fulham? And here are some of the comments on the Cottage Talk Facebook page. Greg Owen wrote, happy. Ben Reed said, oh, God, is Giannis on the show? Talking about the show. God only knows what he'll say. Marty Ward said, nope. Matthew Camp said, yeah, him and Grimmer are good enough right backs at this level. Brendan Cronin wrote, happy as I think he can improve. Grant Harris wrote, anyone to replace Grimmer in the fight for the position? Simon Rugg wrote, I've said this before, and I'll say it now. Meh. I like how he put that. Alex Lowy wrote, I'm happy enough with the signing and willing to give Richards a chance to improve, prove people wrong. 14 games isn't enough to judge a player. See Chris Baird. Very good point by Alex bringing up Chris Baird. Chris Baird proved some fans wrong because he really came through in the end. And Chris Baird turned out to be, honestly, one of my favorite Fulham players. So that's a good example of if you give a player some more time, you can get more out of him. And again, with a potentially different system. That's what also wants me to think that this is going towards a different system. But I could be wrong. Dean Rozier wrote, Richards was certainly not one of our worst players last season. He didn't do much pauses, but he was not at fault for many goals. He showed he can play with better players around him. And with us looking much stronger, I only see this as a good thing. And Roger Lewis ended, I'm prepared to give him a fresh start in what I hope will be a stronger team. However, I think we could have done better. Okay. And those are the comments from the forum supporters. And I'm going to just share with you my thoughts. I've been going back and forth on the Jazz Richards situation, and I've been talking a great deal to Prodigy Talk co-host Emilio Danello about this, who's actually in favor of the move because he thinks that this is a solid player, someone that won't hurt you and does have potential. You know, I'm not trying to put words in Emilio's mouth, but he was leading me to believe that he believes he has potential, that we haven't seen the best of Jazz Richards. And if you watch the latest video with Kid, he actually mentions that he's asked about Jazz Richards, and he believes that we have not seen the best of him yet. I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but we might see a little bit different player. And what gives me hope that we might, Mike, I know it's only one match, but I watched Wales play Belgium, and he played very well. He did not look like the same player I saw with Fulham Football Club. He was, you know, again, he got a nice cross in the box. He was pushing forward. He looked, you know, again, he did a nice job going backwards and, you know, going forwards and back. You know, again, was able to defend, but was also able to push forward. So I'm willing to give him a fresh start, like Roger Lewis said. I'm clean slate. Let's see what you can do from here. Let's see if you can be the player that can go forward but can also defend, Mike. And those are my thoughts. What do you think about what I shared and also what the Fulham supporters shared?
Yeah, it's very much what I feel as well. He's definitely, as some of the fans put, he's not someone that will hurt you. And he's one of those players that will openly admit, according to Kit Simons, you know, using that video that you just mentioned, he'll be the first one to admit himself he didn't do well. Like, he especially met his standard. And like most players, you have to give them time. He had 14 games as a lone player for a team that was already, you know, just trying to scrape and buy. So I think you give him the summer, you give him the players he now knows that's around him, you give him preseason and a clean start. And I think we'll see definitely him step up his game, because you don't just make that Swansea team that was so successful or make Wales International by being a so-so championship player. You don't really do that. So I definitely will give him the benefit of the doubt. I don't think he'll set the world alight so far, but I think he's definitely a solid player that can make big gains and big strides in his own personal skill level, and he'll definitely benefit the team. So I think overall, for what it is, he's a good signing, and we'll see what he does.
Absolutely. And you know, again, I'm just going to throw this out there. I don't know if this is part of Kit's plans, but again, I've seen this with other players. Potential, maybe we could also see him in the midfield. You know, again, I think of someone like DeAndre Yedlin. You know, who knows? Maybe he will use him not just as a right back, but potentially in the midfield as well. I'm just throwing it out there. You know, again, you know, during the match, you know, against Belgium, I believe he did play at one point in the midfield. So, again, I don't know if that's part of Kit's plans, but the fact that he has, I think, flexibility to be a defender, but maybe also fill in midfield, because he does have that pace, Mike. You know, again, it just gets me to think of players like that. And because a player that I wanted to come to Fulham, I just mentioned, is DeAndre Yedlin. And I'm not saying that Jazz Richards is going to be DeAndre Yedlin, but he is a player that does have pace. And I think I've seen it with Richards. He does have pace, but it almost looked like he was playing within himself, Mike. Like he wasn't willing to go that extra gear. Maybe now he'll go that extra gear.
Yeah, he might. I mean, now that the club that he's wearing on his shirt, that crest, is actually his own club, and now he's being paid by this club officially, and he's a Fulham player, and he's starting to see the intent maybe of where we're trying to go. Like many of the players we have now, when they start seeing us bring in these higher class players, and you've got Kit staying on as your manager with an actual plan and philosophy going on, and Kit kind of made a really good point, and I completely back him. He says the players need to buy into it. They need to buy into what their thought process is, their philosophy, and what they're trying to accomplish. They're talking about that strongman week where, you know, it can be seen as silly, but as long as the players buy into it, they got something out of it. And he says they all did. And I think that's key to any going into this next question we're probably going to talk about who's going to do well next year in the championship. It's about which teams buy in to the goals and aspirations of the club your fellow teammates and the manager are trying to get at. And I think that if these players do buy in, they give it their all, then you're definitely going to see success. So it's kind of it's key to the mental aspect that definitely translates into what you do on the pitch. So I'm pretty excited to see what happens.
Right. So am I. You know, again, they have to buy in. I'm glad that you brought it that way. You know, I've seen it with other teams and other sports. If the players buy in, you know, that's half the battle. The players need to buy in, because if you're all fighting for the same cause, you all know your individual roles within the team, then you can thrive. It's about buying in. It's not always about having the most skilled players. It's about, you know, basically running as an engine and all the parts running together. And Absolutely. That's what this is what Fulham need. They need an identity, Mike. You know, and if Kidd is trying to establish an identity where everyone has their own role and they're all buying in, and again, like you mentioned that week prior, when, you know, that's a bonding experience. If they're all bonding together and they buy into what Kidd is selling, then we could have something this season. They all have to be on the same page, and that was part of the problem last year. They all were not on the same page. And, you know, again, you know, we can go back and talk about former managers and you know, talk about Felix and all that stuff. But what it really is, it's about everyone being in it together. And if you're not all in it together, it makes it very difficult. And again, now we're going to transition and talk about teams that could potentially win the championship. And when I look at last season, you could just tell the teams that went up to the Premier League, they all bought in. They're all on the same page. And even the teams in the top six, and even a little bit beyond the top six, you could just tell that they're all working together. And, you know, that to me is what Fulham need. Fulham need all 11 to be on the same page. But now let's talk about, and this is how we're going to end the show. Which club is your favorite, Mike, to win the championship this upcoming season? I know it's early, but if you're looking at it right now, which club do you think is the favorite?
Fulham. Absolutely Fulham. So there's no way. That's just my bias. I'm going to go ahead and say it, that Fulham are going to do well. If I'm looking at this honestly and realistically, I see Fulham, if everyone buys in, like we're talking about, when we get the right players in, and we start, we bring in one or two more players, shore up the defense a little bit. I think the top two teams, honestly, could be Derby and Fulham. I definitely think Fulham could potentially be in the top four. I think we'll be in the top six for sure, based off early days and just me having hope that we will be there. So, but the strongest team, as in who have kept their players from the previous season, have got to be Derby. Out of all the teams that fought last year and played, I am so surprised and a little bit upset to see Derby still in the championship, because they fully deserve to get promoted. So I think Derby is probably the best bet to being number one position. This, speaking as of today, July 4th, looking at the next season, I think Derby probably look like favorites.
Okay. And I would agree with you. I was going to say Derby County as well, because that team is mostly intact. And for whatever reason, it didn't work at the end of the season with McLaren. He couldn't get the best out of him at the end. It just, for whatever reason, it didn't work. And they actually fell out of the top six, and it really surprised me that they did, but they have the talent and the team to really win the league. So I would say Derby County. And another team that I, you know, that I potentially think has a shot, you know, I'm going to say this, but it matters on who stays and who goes. I like Wolves. And again, you know, who knows what happens with them if some of their players do leave, but if they can keep the majority of their key players, and I actually would like one of their key players to be on Fulham, but if they keep most of their key players, I could see Wolves being in the mix as well. And, you know, as for Fulham, do I think they can win the league? You know, I think that they can if they get more pieces in, but I'm going to say that at this point, I'm hoping for top six, and we'll take it from there. You know, I'm not going to predict that they're going to win. I'm not going to predict they're going to win the league, Mike. I can't go there.
No.
I'm going to, as of right now, I will predict Derby County, but I'm not going to predict Fulham. I need to see more. That's why I said at this point it's early, because the clubs are still building. But as of right now, I still see Derby County. They just signed comments. I just see them as a team that has what it takes to get back. You know, another team that I like, but again, it matters on who stays, is Middlesbrough. I mean, they could be a contender as well. That team actually really impressed me. So again, it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. But for me, it's Derby County, and we do have one comment from the Cottage Talk Facebook page, and then we're going to wrap up the show, Mike. Alex Lowy wrote, "My head wants to say Derby yet again, but I have a good feeling about Wolves this year." He actually agrees with me. Actually, no, Derby. So he changed his mind. So that's where we end the show. And Mike, listen, as we wrap this up, I just want to thank you for doing the show with me. We tried a new technology. It seemed to go over fairly well. What do you think of this Direct Connect that we used tonight? Today.
Yeah, I haven't. This is probably the best audio quality I've heard from any Cottage Talk show, and it's very refreshing to be able to hear everything so clearly. We've had limited interruptions, and overall, I think this is, if we can get those sound clips to kind of find a way to get those in there somehow, I think this is definitely the way to go. But I do have one quick question for you before we wrap up, Russ, if you don't mind.
Sure, Mike. Sure.
So you talked about who you think is going to win the league. Who do you think is going to get relegated right now, bottom three?
Wow. Okay. I would have to put Rotherham right there. I think
me too.
I think Rotherham. I'll throw. Let's see who else. I would say potentially MK Dons, and boy, I'm gonna throw this out there. I'm gonna say maybe Brighton.
Yep, I have Brighton, Rotherham, and Preston. So those are my bottom three. But anyway, that was just because we went to the top. We might as well look at the bottom two.
All right, Mike. Listen, I want to wish you a great 4th of July, and for everyone in the States, a happy 4th of July around the world. I should say that, because the 4th of July is a great day for wherever you are, and fireworks, the whole thing. We had fireworks in my town last night, and it's a great day. So happy 4th of July, everyone! Before we go, just a reminder: you can download Cottage Talk on iTunes and on the Stitcher Radio app, which is available on the iPhone, iPad, and the Android. Also, you can now listen to Cottage Talk on the TuneIn app, which is available at most app stores for your mobile device. One last thing I want to mention, and again, this is a shout out to Sarah Brooks. I'm a huge fan of Wimbledon, and someday I want to go to Wimbledon. Sarah, I feel bad for you that Rafa Nadal, she's a huge Rafa Nadal fan, Mike, and Rafa Nadal went out yesterday, in Wimbledon. I love Wimbledon. Any thoughts on Wimbledon before we go?
Not really. No, I'm not I watch Wimbledon from time to time, so it's not really my cup of tea, so to speak. But I am quite surprised to see Nadal knocked out this early. I think his best days are kind of behind him at this point. And I know he's openly admitted that. But the last few years, when I've been keeping up with it, he's kind of been dropping in the rankings and just in overall, I guess, his reaction time quickness. So sorry, Sarah Brooks. And to anyone who likes Nadal, but I think his time is a little bit beyond him at this point.
Okay. And one last thing I want to say, because I was hoping for my dream matchup on Sunday in the U.S. The Women's World Cup. I wanted U.S. and England really bad. And my heart goes out to Miss Bassett. And she played an incredible tournament, and I'm sorry that she gave up that own goal. And she really did, and that's one thing that's gotten lost is how well she played. She played great. And it's unfortunate that they're not going to be there. It's going to be Japan. But just want to mention that I really wanted it to be the U.S., England. And that would have been fun on the 5th of July. All right, Mike, let's wrap this up. That's it for this episode. For Mike O'Connor, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk.